Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is James Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and I'm sitting alongside Mr. Baseball himself. Tommy sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. Just chilling.
Well, what's on the show this week?
We've got Last of Us news. We're a little bit behind because it's been a couple weeks since we did a show. So we're going to talk about it still because we're excited about it. So we've got a release date and some more details about that. We've got some Red Dead news. Got some PlayStation news, some Nintendo news, Mario Kart on your phone, which is weird. We'll talk about that some. Releases, maybe a few more things if we get to them. So, packed show. Should be some good stuff.
I called you Mr. Baseball because I wanted to do this show yesterday, and you're like, nope, baseball.
Right.
So that's pretty much the only thing that's ever stopped this show. So we're doing it a day later. We tried to record Patreon content yesterday. Not sure how that came out.
It'll be something. We'll see. Oh, let me take a moment though to plug our Patreon content because I think it's actually pretty good. Other than technical issues that we've now had twice. But I think the actual content's pretty fun. And we have Patreon content, which is worth celebrating in and of itself, right? And so this is a good time to go check out the Patreon because we're actually putting some stuff up. So what we're doing is we're playing through Link's Awakening together and just capturing it and talking about stupid stuff that's mostly not about video games over, which is maybe entertaining, maybe terrible. We don't really know, but we're having a good time.
Let me just explain for those of you that don't understand. As far as gaming goes, and we say this in one of the videos, we're really bad. So I feel like to cover our badness and the fact that we're not going to edit, so that means we're going to wander around for 45 minutes trying to figure stuff out. I feel like we have to talk about something that might be marginally interesting.
Yes.
And so that's why we do that. We're not that good.
Yeah. So if, for instance, you would like to hear the follow-up about the kidney stone procedure, that's in one of the Patreon content. So we won't rehash that here, but if you are curious to how that went, you can find out. I don't know that you want to, but you can.
Yeah, it's really interesting that we're at this point in our lives where we don't conversate during the week. The only time that we conversate is when the mics go on. And I don't know if that makes us comfortable or that makes us weird or what. But like, we don't talk to each other unless these mics are on and recording. So if you want to hear some actual Jamie and Tommy conversation that should probably stay off mic, go over there and check that out, because That's some good stuff.
Absolutely. And the first video is public on there now. So if you've if you just thought about supporting us on Patreon, but are like, what am I going to get out of this? You can go go watch the misery of that first video of us playing Link's Awakening and just wandering around aimlessly. And yeah, if that doesn't pull you in, I don't know what will. So
well,
consider that.
If you watch that, you will very quickly see why we will never, ever be pro gamers.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, I play games with you and I feel better about being me because I wander around different places and I'm thinking, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? I don't know. And I'm glad you're the same way.
Yep.
So,
And now people can watch it in all of its glory. So there you go. It's like I said, I really do think if nothing else, I know you and I are having fun with it, and hopefully it's entertaining for other people to watch. But I think it's some of the most fun content we've done in a long, long time. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, here's the thing with it. Here's the deal. You guys don't really see us streaming the way that normal people stream. And the reason we don't do that, meaning either one of us playing games with our heads like in the corner, of the game, just talking about random stuff. The reason we don't do that is because, especially me, I'm talking for myself here, but I think it applies to you. We don't do that because we don't find it fun.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to turn on the mic and try and be funny for an hour and a half while I'm playing something that you may or may not be interested in. But it's a whole lot of fun to get on the mic and hang out with my buddy. And that's why we do this.
So, yeah, 100%. And it really is. It's a lot of fun, and almost everything we're talking about has very little to do with video games. Even the game that we're playing, like, is like, oh crap, what are we supposed to do now? And then we get sidetracked talking about something else. And so, yeah, it's just like two dudes chilling playing a video game. It's exactly what it would be if we're sitting in a room together playing video games without the mic on, for the most part, except
right.
we break that fourth wall every once in a while pretty often, but still, it's like I said, it's some of the most fun content that we've done in a while. Maybe it's terrible to watch and listen to, but we're having a good time. So go by gaminguncensored.com, click on that Patreon link there at the upper right hand corner of the page to check it out. And big shout out, because we're talking about Patreon, to the guys that are already over there: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. Thank you guys a ton for your support. And we're thrilled to finally be at least putting something up for you guys, have given you some content. So there you go.
And because it's so much fun, it just makes me want to do more.
Yes.
Like, I am enjoying doing this, and I'm like, hey, this is what it would be if we were doing this thing full time. And it's just a blast.
Yeah.
And so you can almost be guaranteed that there will be more, because we really do enjoy it. So we hope you guys do as well. That being said, we haven't been on the air in 2 weeks like adults, and there's a lot of news.
There is, but before we do that, we've got to do one other thing I don't know how it's going to go. We're going to find this out together. So our boy Cabbage sent us in, per your request, a segment that was supposed to be a GU boogie. He decided to do something different. I have not listened to this yet.
I have not either.
That's what I was really hoping. So the first time either one of us hears this is going to be live on the show.
I got a random message. I know you got it too.
Yep.
He said, you better play that segment. And it had something to do with me and stand up.
Yep.
I have no idea what that means. So here we go.
We're going to find out together. So via Cabbage, here is Jamie Jordan stand up.
How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and I'm trying to figure out how to say what's up. Alright, so a couple of things. I know a little Spanish, but that's about it.
That makes me sad. I have pretty much given up all pleasure in my life. You know, I'm a big fan of
Pete.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, I kind of sort of gave that up and switched to water. And I have this Yeti, this 30-ounce Yeti cup. And I swear to you, all that's ever been in that Yeti cup is
pee.
And I fill it up like once a day, and I drink it down, and then I fill it up again. Haven't had any alcohol. Although I will say this, I don't really care how you feel. Whip it out, just whiz all over. There's been a few times in my life that I've had to stick a tube up in there on purpose. All right. Well, a lot of fun. For right now, I think that's it.
That was it. Thank you, Cabbage.
Okay. So a couple of things there. I hope nobody from either of our families ever hears that. And secondly, what the crap? What the crap, dude? Like, here's what scares me about that. I have done stand-up. I enjoy doing stand-up. Do you know what envisioned what happened in my brain as I'm listening to that? My brain said, this is you at 75 still trying to do stand-up. That's what my brain said. Like, standing at a piano bar trying to get people to laugh at me, and it's just not happening. Oh, wow.
That was pretty phenomenal.
That's pretty good. The only thing that would have made that better is random heckling from Cabbage.
That would have made it better.
First in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty genius overall, but that would have improved it some. That was fantastic. I enjoyed that thoroughly.
For the first 45 seconds, I was trying to figure out what he was doing there, and then it just clicked, and that's freaking brilliant. I hope our families never hear that, but yeah. I hope that's freaking brilliant.
That was great. So, well done, Cabbage. Hats off to you yet again.
This is why we'll never be a professional podcast, because we have to play things like that because we're vastly entertained and nobody else is. Yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah, I doubt anybody's laughing as hard at that as we are. But yeah, for us, that was amazing.
That's fantastic. So. Thank you, sir.
Kudos, Cabbage. Again, very well done. So, that being said, shall we talk about some video games?
I mean, we could try.
We could try.
I feel like we just need to wrap it right there. Yeah.
See you next week.
Yeah, but yeah, let's try.
So, we got lots to talk about, like you mentioned. We're going to start with The Last of Us, because The Last of Us had a big event now, almost 2 weeks ago. But worth chatting about first the big news, which is the release date, which is holy cow, pretty soon, and then some of the details that have come out about the actual game that we know now too.
So. Wait, before we get into what you're about to talk about, let me just specify that I'm the last person on the planet. I have not seen the trailer.
Oh yeah,
and I did not see the trailer on purpose. And now I'm glad that I did not see the trailer because of a release that came out this week on PlayStation Network that we'll be playing through. I have not seen the latest Last of Us trailer.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that because we're about to do some prep playing for The Last of Us 2, and I'm really excited.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So, let me mention that because I don't think... Yeah, we didn't talk about that on the last show. The PlayStation Plus titles for October are pretty great. I mentioned one on our Patreon content that I'm playing right now, which is MLB The Show, right there with baseball stuff. I imagine we'll probably try to squeeze in some baseball talk at some point in here, but I'm digging that. I've played a decent little chunk of that where we're gonna have to talk about some games here in a second too, so I'll mention that then. But the other one is the Last of Us Remastered is free on PlayStation Plus, so of course you have to pay for PlayStation Plus, but if you've got it, you can go download the Last of Us Remastered, which is brilliant, obviously, just in time to play through it again or play through it for a first time before The Last of Us 2 comes out, which that release date is February 21st, just a 4.5, 5.5 months away, whatever that is. Not long away. And now officially the start of a wave of kind of first quarter games, essentially. So just to give you some perspective, The Last of Us 2, as mentioned, coming out the 21st of February. A couple weeks later is when we get Final Fantasy VII Remake. That same week, so March 3rd for Final Fantasy VII Remake, March 6th for Watch Dogs Legion, and then, of course, April 16th for Cyberpunk 2077. So those four games, and maybe you want to take Final Fantasy or maybe you want to take Watch Dogs out because one's a remake and one is Watch Dogs. But still, all four of those games, pretty big, significant games coming out within 2 months of each other. Any one of those has the full potential to be game of the year next year, and they come out all within 2 months of each other.
Here's what I want to do because of that list that you just mentioned. I want to go and park myself in your suburb starting about February and be there until about May.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. And you know, we've harped on the fact over and over and over again that we want to do this full time. That window right there is a good time to start. Yeah. So let me just say that, folks. That's a lot of games, and we will cover them all. So if anybody out there has won the lottery and wants to help me get to Tommy's, that would be good, because yeah, I really would stay for that entire window.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just a crazy chunk of games. Again, all coming out at the same time. Like when The Last of Us release day came out, I was kind of like, oh, that kind of makes the most sense. At least get the jump on those big games coming out. And it gives you about 2 months before Cyberpunk. And so,
yeah.
Final Fantasy VII and Watch Dogs to me are a little bit more question marks in a way, just because we kind of know what Final Fantasy VII is, even though it's going to be a huge deal. Hey, it is a remake.
We know what it is, but did you see the latest video for that thing talking about the materia? I mean, holy cow.
Yeah, it's fantastic. No doubt about it. It's hard to knock it in. Again, I think Watch Dogs is probably the easiest one to take down a peg, but it's also looks really good and fascinating with this mechanic. And yeah, four stellar games, I would imagine, coming out. And if one of them kind of bums you out, like if Watch Dogs ends up being kind of meh, who cares? You got three others that are almost certainly going to be great around it. And so that's a really, really, really good window of gaming. So that's the release date. That's the big news, obviously, about when we're actually going to get it and the fact that we're going to get it pretty soon. And it's obviously still a PlayStation 4 title. That's one thing we had talked about a lot is this going to, you know, drift and drift and drift, ended up being that kind of PlayStation 5 launch thing. And I'm sure it still will be. They'll be put out some, you know, DLC around the PlayStation 5. They'll put out, you know, here's what it looks like on the PlayStation 5 with ray tracing and everything else. And of course, it's going to be a big deal there. But it is truly a PlayStation 4 game. It's going to be launching on the PlayStation 4 exclusively and then moving on from there. So that's the big news part of it. Some of the little details, though, that we got both through a trailer. So there's a new trailer out there. And so we're going to get a little bit spoilery in Naughty Dog fashion. They like to tease at things that may or may not be true. And so there's a couple of things to kind of dissect in that with this trailer, but also a little bit more gameplay, too, just so you can see kind of what the world looks like. And the short of that is it's not radically different. It's The Last of Us. If you played the first game, this looks familiar, playing as Ellie, which you didn't for the most part in the first game, which you will be in this title, at least as far as we know, for the most part. Again, they like throwing curveballs in there, so we'll see what happens. It's still very much a Naughty Dog game, meaning it's not open world. It's very linear in its narrative, and it's kind of progressing you through that storyline. But they are making bigger, more open areas. There's some gameplay on horseback, for instance, and so you just kind of you have to have a little bit of a bigger area to make horseback navigation a thing. And so they are working on bigger kind of stages, bigger kind of compartments, these little compartmentalized things that Naughty Dog does, each of these stages that you kind of progress through. It's a very combat focused, but there is still that heavy stealth component and a lot of talk about how you can sneak through most places, that you don't have to kill people or dogs. You can kill dogs. You don't have to kill dogs. Apparently that's a big controversial point, is the fact that you can kill dogs, that like some of the enemies have dogs that will sniff you out. And it's your choice of whether or not you want to kill them. There's a way that you can like view your scent to make sure you're not like downwind from the dogs, so that they're smelling you and all this crazy stuff. And so it's seems like it's going to be a little bit more fleshed out on the stealth side. The clickers are still there, and so you're going to have that element too, which is fascinating because they can't see, and so they find you via echolocation, and so that brings in a whole new interesting stealth component to it. That's from the first game, just expanded on here. So all that stuff to say, if you liked The Last of Us, you're probably going to like The Last of Us Part 2 because it keeps a lot of the core there. Story things, though. Oh, go ahead. I'll let you jump in there.
I was just going to admit it. A couple of things on that. The fact that they focused on the dog thing, I realize we have to be politically correct. I get that, but it's a game and it's programming and it's ones and zeros. Yeah. Like, I read that and I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Really? We got to talk about this? Really?
Can I be real honest? I've killed a whole lot of dogs in video games before.
Hello, Resident Evil. Thank you.
That's the truth.
Thank you.
Zombie dogs, but dogs nonetheless.
I mean, look, folks. I understand that it's all cool to be politically correct, but I'm a crippled, and if you want to call me crippled to my face, I will grin and call you something else. I mean, that's just the truth of it. I understand that everybody has to be nice. Everybody has to play nice. But this is getting ridiculous, folks. It really is.
I don't disagree. And to put a little button on that point even further, it's a game where you could just kill hordes and hordes of people, right? Like, which most video games are. Like, killing is a core component, not of all video games, but of a good chunk of them, especially the really popular ones. Like, it's just a part of it. Like, you kill, you know, ones and zeros people all the time, but as soon as we kill a ones and zeros dog, like, people lose their minds about it. Yeah, whatever. I imagine I'm going to be shooting some dogs in The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm really going to feel that bad about it either.
I don't either. I really, because they're not real.
No.
You know what I wouldn't do in real life? Shoot a dog. Like, I couldn't do that in real life. We've talked about this plenty before. I'm quite pacifistic by nature. Just like in real life, like I am not big on violence, and that's something we can digress into some other time. But in a video game, it's for the most part a very different thing. There are things in video games that have made me uncomfortable, but shooting a virtual dog, for the most part, I'm trying to think of an exception to that. I can't think of one. As early as like 5 when I was trying to shoot the stupid Duck Hunt dog, like, it's been part of my life.
Well, and I hate to keep harping on this, but it's amazing that this is coming up this week. We tell people where we grew up and how things are where we live. I have a guy that comes to my house a couple times a week and gives me a massage, right? And this guy's an animal lover, and he pulls into my house, and this is like on Monday of last week, and he's visibly upset. I'm like, what's going on, dude? And he's like, I can't tell you. It's none of my business. I'll just keep my mouth shut. I'm like, no, what's up? And he's like, well, your sheepdog's out in the mud. And he's got no place to go. And he's like out in the rain, and he's out in the mud, and he's just laying there. And I'm like, dude, he's out in the rain, and he's out in the mud because he's dumb. He's got plenty of ways to go. He's laying in the mud because he's dumb.
Yeah, and, or because he likes it.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm a dog, and this is fantastic. And he's living his best life.
And this dude was like, if y'all don't want him, if y'all don't want to take care of him, I'll take him. And I'm like, dude, it's a sheepdog. His job is to be out in the pasture. That's the thing. Like, I like this guy, and I understand people that love dogs.
Yeah.
I get it. But, man.
Yeah. This is not the direction I thought we were going with this, but I cannot agree with you more. And I do think it's partially something about where we grew up and just kind of attitudes around animals and pets and that kind of thing. And I also think it's a little bit our age, because a sexy psychic and I have this conversation fairly regularly about how, like, just how crazy people treat pets at this point. And like, I've always had pets. Like, we, the sexy sidekick and I, have had a cat. We don't have the cat anymore. He died, but we talked about Pompey a ton on this show. And we were bummed when he died. You know, like, he was, you know, our pet for 15 years. But he was a cat. We kind of got over it, you know? We had a couple dogs. We honestly, like, kid you not, right before the show, we were walking around the neighborhood because our one dog that we have left, we had two dogs and a cat, and two of them are dead at this point because they're all ridiculously old. We have one dog left, and she got out of the house or out of the yard last night. And she's just like somewhere wandering our neighborhood right now. We couldn't find her. We went and walked around, looked for her a little bit, didn't find her. And we're kind of like, whatever, you know, like, she'll figure it out or she won't, you know. But like, we're like, put up on Facebook, hey, if you see our dog, let us know. And somebody saw it last night. This is crazy, people. Posted a picture of it. She got out, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning or something. There's a festival going on across the street from our house in the park right now. Somebody posted on Facebook and said, I think there's a coyote loose in our neighborhood. It's our 16-year-old blue heeler that doesn't really look like a coyote, but she is old and scraggly. And so I could kind of see it, but I just can't imagine anything that would make our dog more happy than knowing at 16 years old somebody thought she was a coyote. It would just thrill her soul. But like, she's our pet, and we're, you know, like, we're going to be bummed if she doesn't show back up. But, like, we're also going to move on. And I feel like we're being really uncompassionate, maybe, about people with pets. And, like, if pets are members of your family and that's, like, you have a really, really close connection with them, I don't find anything wrong with it. I think that's great. But, like, I've just, like, for me, pets have always been pets. And they're like a rung down from people, you know. Yeah. They're not people.
Well,
fact that we get so worked up about pets and not worked up about people that are in the same circumstances a lot of times often infuriates me. And so,
and that's what this dude said, was like, that's part of the family. And I'm like, no, It's a sheepdog. Like, we hired it to be a sheepdog.
Yeah, especially for you guys, and it's the same way with my in-laws. You know, like, they have cats all the time because they have barn cats. Because
we
they
got
have, like, mice
we got
stuff.
Like 40.
Right, exactly. Right. And it's like, you just have cats if you've got some land because you needed something to keep the varmints away, you know? Like, and like, they die all the time. Like, just like, there's raccoons that come and eat the cats. And it's like, you know, like, it's kind of brutal when you think about animals in the not, like, domesticated world or whatever. But, like, that's what it is, you know? Like, they kind of serve a purpose. They're not pets. They're kind of pets, but not really pets. You just, you know, not to get super attached to them because there's a good chance raccoon's going to come and eat it. You know, like, it's just, yeah, it's just a different world, man. And it's hard to convey that sometimes. It just, it
like,
blows my mind.
I feel like, and this is not where I wanted to go, but I feel like people that listen to the show must think that you and I grew up in a world that is abusive or the Wild West or something.
Right.
And it kind of is. I mean, yeah. It's sexist, but
it's not completely unfair.
But, I mean, that's just how we grew up. And there's guns, and there's dogs, and there's naming other really weird thing. I can't think of it right. Like, that's just how we grew up, and that's how I still live. And I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful for how we got to grow up. Because of the fact that, and we're about to sound really old here.
Which is not unfair.
You and I have common sense. and I don't think a lot of these kids today.
Youngins.
Yeah. Have a whole lot of common sense. I mean, we're laughing, but I'm serious. You teach kids for a living. And there's just, if you didn't grow up the way that we did and understand how food is harvested and produced and how you get beef and how you get chicken and that type of stuff, like, there's kids out there that don't have a clue. And it really scares me. I don't know about you.
Well, in defense of the kids, one thing I'll say, I don't disagree completely there, because I deal, like you said, with college students every day, and they drive me nuts sometimes. But I know something about me. When I was a college student, I was also really dumb. So part of it, too, is just, like, with the benefit of age and figuring things out, and you, like, some of that just comes with time. I don't disagree completely, but I just know I was dumb as a kid, too.
Right.
Like, I did stupid things, and I was an idiot, especially, like, junior high and high school. Like, I was super dumb. Like, when I look back on those days, I'm like, good God, how'd I ever survive? Like, I was an idiot. So, I think some of it's just being a kid, too.
So,
not that that's the whole thing, but yeah.
So yeah, to put a ball on that, still ridiculous that we're talking about killing one of the zeros.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And neither one of us are in any way saying go kill dogs in real life. Take care of your animals. Animals are cool. I like animals a lot, but they're animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that said, how many listeners did we just lose, do you think?
Like, all of them?
Hey.
Thank you guys that are still here. We appreciate you.
Probably all of them. Seriously.
So anyway, The Last of Us 2 is going to be good. A couple of things on the trailer. That's where I was going way back when. A couple of storyline things. I'll just mention here briefly so we can get through some other stuff as well. The big kind of kicker for the trailer at the very end, Joel shows up. without very much context at all. And so the kind of talk all this time is Joel dead? What happened to Joel? We still don't really know what happened to Joel. And I'll be quite honest with you. We still don't know whether or not Joel's dead, because they could very well make him dead and have him show up in a trailer as, like, you know, shepherding Enigma for Ellie through this whole adventure, whatever it is. You know, like, just because we saw him in a video clip for 10 seconds doesn't mean he's alive. Doesn't mean he's dead either.
She could be crazy and seeing him in her brain. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely. So there's that side of it. And apparently one of the big storyline elements going through it is going to be about revenge. And so the thing that they kind of tease happens, and again, this is kind of spoilery, but again, it's Naughty Dog and they like to do this kind of spoilery thing that may or may not end up being true. And so you kind of have to, like, take everything with a grain of salt. So we, of course, know from E3 2 years ago, that big Last of Us event where they had the like barn dance and everything, and in the real life barn dance at E3, that was weird. But in the game, the kind of barn dance thing where Ellie and Dina have this kiss, and that was kind of the talk of the whole Last of Us 2 thing. Well, it looks like maybe Dina dies pretty early on, and so the game is a revenge quest from that. Again, take that with a massive grain of salt. Naughty Dog likes to tease stuff like that to make you think you know what's happening, and then, like, totally twist that around once you get the actual game. And so those are kind of the takeaways storyline-wise. I think it's fair to just say that the kind of emotional impact of the story will be there. Naughty Dog has proven that pretty well at this point, that they can deliver there. And Neil Druckmann specifically, I'll mention, go by the show notes. There's a good interview from The Telegraph with Neil Druckmann that has a lot more kind of stuff just about dealing with some of those questions. Talks about having a lead character in a AAA title that is both female and homosexual, which is kind of fascinating because you can't name any of those. And so it's breaking down some barriers, which is pretty cool. And so, yeah, lots happening with The Last of Us 2, and ultimately just can't get here soon enough.
It's going to be a really good game. Yeah, really, really good.
Can I mention something zombie related really quick? That's not game related, but just while we're here.
Absolutely.
I started watching the Walking Dead season 9. Not really. It's not been something that I've been like, oh, I need to watch. It just popped up on Netflix that it was available, and I was like, oh, I should probably give it a look, because I've, like most people, I think that's been into The Walking Dead, like the last few seasons of the TV show just kind of were meh. I'm really into season 9. Like, I think they kind of got some of the magic back. One of my favorite moments ever in The Walking Dead just happened. Like, one of the big shock moments for me, just cool execution and everything else. That was a pun. but as The Walking Dead does, people die. And so there's a moment where somebody dies that I was like, oh my goodness, that was a great bit of television right there. I actually recommend it. I'm kind of, The Walking Dead season 10 is just starting, I think, today.
It starts tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now I'm actually like, oh man, I kind of want to get caught up and see what's happening in season 10. I don't know if the whole season stays pretty good. I'm 4 or 5 episodes in. But I've kind of been jonesing to get back to it. I'm really happy to be enjoying The Walking Dead, which I haven't for a while.
Okay, this show is totally not going where I expected it to go. But I'm right there with you. That's on Netflix, and I've been toying around with the idea, should I start that? Because unlike in previous years with The Walking Dead, I've been ahead in the comic. And I've been telling myself that I'm going to read, you know, 20 or 30 issues of the comic and then go back to the TV show. But now, kind of knowing that Rick's not there, which I think everybody knows at this point, so that's not a spoiler. Carl is not around. It's drastically different than the comic. So I'm thinking it may be time to go back to it, but what I was gonna say is that I have felt that way for a couple of years about Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah,
the last year on Fear the Walking Dead was fantastic, and I'm currently watching beefier this year, and it's still fantastic. So I feel that way about Fear. I know a lot of people don't feel that way about Fear, and I didn't for a while, but I'm telling you, the last 2 years have been great.
Yeah, I need to pick that one back up, because I started it and just didn't really get into it. So, yeah. Yay for zombies, right? Zombies are fine.
Yay, Kirkman, make more money. There
Isn't
you
that
go.
The truth? God bless you, man. Yeah. Moving on to a few other bits and pieces of video game news. A couple of Red Dead Redemption news stories. First, officially coming to PC. We've known it would for a while, but it's officially coming, and we officially have a release date, and that release date is in a month. November 5th is when you will be able to get Red Dead 2 on the PC, which is pretty fantastic.
Now, a couple of things on this. You know I'm going to pick it up. Although I'm probably not going to play it that much, because you know that game probably sucks on mouse and keyboard.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the shooting is better, because it's still shooting mechanic on that's pretty terrible on a controller.
Right. But what I was thinking to myself as I was looking through the show notes earlier is, I wonder what that is going to look like on a 1080.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious about that. You have a 1080, I have a 1080. I am very curious about that. And that's almost worth the price to pick it up by itself.
Yeah.
As I want to know what that looks like with a nasty graphics card behind it.
Yeah.
And yeah, cool. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I think I'm going to pick it up.
I mean, I won't pick it up on PC just because I already have it on PlayStation. But I would love to see it on your PC. Like, I'm going to be curious to see it. And so, yeah, I'll be pumped to see it there. The other bit of Red Dead news is, at this point, there's no plan for any single-player DLC for Red Dead 2. They are putting a heavy focus into Red Dead Online, which, to be fair, Grand Theft Auto Online has turned into this massive thing, just exploded for Rockstar, and so I get it, why they're putting that in. And I gotta tell you, honestly, as a guy who finds it hard to come back to games, the like just base game is so deep and so much there. Cool. Like, I'm perfectly fine with that. Like, it doesn't hurt my feelings at all that they don't have any single-player DLC planned for this game at this point.
I'm actually ecstatic that they're not going to try. I mean, because you and I have still got, like, 80 hours to go in Red Dead. Like, we've got so far to go in Red Dead, it's not even funny.
I've been jonesing for it lately. We've got to finish Spider-Man because we're close to the end on Spider-Man. We haven't finished that. So we got to do that. And then we got to get back into Red Dead because I've been yearning for some Red Dead for a couple weeks now.
But I'm so glad that they're not doing the cash grab thing where it's like, here's some DLC, because I think we know that game's pretty fantastic all on its own without help.
Absolutely. Moving on to a few bits and pieces from Sony, some PlayStation news. First, pretty big news here. I think this is a significant thing. It's not a shocker. It's something that they had to do, but the fact that they did it still, I think, is noteworthy. PlayStation Now, Sony's subscription game service that's similar to Game Pass for Xbox or whatever all the other ones out there are at this point, had been kind of set apart from the others in that it was way more expensive and didn't quite have the, still doesn't have the game library, though they're helping there too. But the big bit of news is they've cut the price in half. And so what used to be $10 or $20 a month is now $10 a month. What used to be $100 a year is now $60 a year. And so big deal there of just pulling that price down, making that a lot more competitive. And they've also added God of War, Grand Theft Auto 5, and Uncharted 4 to the service that is both cloud-based and downloadable. So it's the kind of, it started as a streaming thing, and they figured out, okay, we're not quite ready for a full streaming service. So if we could do a both stream and download service, that's where they are now. still can't. I mean, I've played all these games, and so I don't need to pick it up yet. There's nothing compelling on there for me to pick it up software wise yet. But it's smart of them to get that more competitive price point.
We don't have time to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because we haven't been on the air in 2 weeks. Can we talk for a second about games as service right now?
Oh, yeah.
Because we're in a really good place as far as games and services right now. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm happy about everything. I'm happy about Origin. I'm happy about Game Pass. I think they are all fantastic. I've got games running out of my ears. There's way too much to play. That's why I feel awful about the fact that we're not doing this full time, because we could do this 40 hours a week for the rest of our lives and not run out of stuff to play. I never thought that games as service would be this flawless. Like, we knew it was going to be a big deal a long time ago, and we groused about it. I groused about it. I don't think you did so much. And that, I don't know how good it's going to be. It's great. And I'm willing to crack open my wallet and say, here's more money, as long as it continues to be this great. And I'm curious if you feel the same way.
I do, for the most part. I'm going to be a little bit of a wet blanket, but before I do that, I have Game Pass. I have the Humble Bundle monthly. I have EA Origin or EA Access on Origin, whatever it's called. PlayStation Plus, obviously, which isn't exactly the same thing, but still paying each month and getting some games out of that each month. And so it's a couple of different approaches to the games as service thing between those different options. Yes, it is well done, and for the most part, I dig it. The one thing I will say about it, though, that's maybe counterintuitive in a way, is that because they're so easily accessible, it feels like, and I know this personally, and I'm curious too if other people feel this way as well, but I don't think I'm the only one here. It does feel like it devalues some games some. So, for instance, and this is just the obvious one that's out right now that just came out as a huge blockbuster title, and I haven't touched it, even though I have it, is Gears 5. Like, I have Gears 5 downloaded and installed. Not only do I have Game Pass so I can get it, I've downloaded and installed it and fired it up and you know, took a look at it for 10 minutes or whatever. But I don't have, like, this pressing need to jump into it because, like, in the back of my head, I go, oh, it's there. Like, it's going to be there waiting for me. I need to play this. I need to play Spider-Man that I spent money on. I need to play Red Dead that I spent money on. I need to play Zelda that I spent money on. And Red Dead's going to be there when I get to it, when I get through. And this is the ridiculous part of it, but this is the kind of, you know, psychological games or whatever. When I get through all these games that I paid for, I can go and play that one that I didn't pay for. First of all, of course, I paid for it. You're paying for Game Pass, but I didn't pay for it directly. And I'm never going to get through the games that I am paying for directly, right? You know, like, it's just going to always be sitting there. And I intellectually know the absurdity of that argument. But the fact that I have access to Gears 5 without having to pay $60 or $30 or $20 or whatever it is for Gears 5, in a way devalues it in my mind as far as all these other games that I should be playing. Now, to be perfectly fair, I'm going to play Spider-Man or Red Dead or Zelda before Gears 5 anyway. Like, I just want those games more. And so it's going to be a bigger question when there's a game on this service that I have to have. Like, Ori and the Blind Forest, if it's releasing, I think, on Game Pass day one. Okay, that's one I'm probably going to go get immediately because I love Ori. You know, like, that's right. Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Ori and the Blind Forest was the first one. But that's one that, you know, it's going to break that rule. But I have a AAA game available to me that I can play right now that I do want to play that I'm not playing in part because there's this kind of devaluation of it.
Do you know why? And I figured it out. If right now for these services, the reason that we're not thinking about it, the reason I'm not thinking about it is not because I have all of this expendable income. You're an adult. You have a real job. I work 3 part-time jobs and, like, don't have enough money. But the reason that I feel the same way you do about, oh, I'll get to these games because they're there and they're going to be there, is because of where the price points are for all of these services. When they go up to $15 a month or $20 a month or whatever it is, and I don't get a discount for paying yearly, because that's what I'm doing now for all of these except for Game Pass, which is still stupid cheap at $5 a month. When I don't get a discount in some way for paying annually or find some way to get a discount out of these services, and I'm paying 15 or 20 bucks a month for all of them, then that changes. I'm saying right now, that's why we feel the way we feel.
Yeah. Or,
I think
that's the catch 22 of it, right? Like, yeah. I both agree and want to argue with you at the same time of that value, not value. Yeah. At the end of the day, this is where I agree with you. I think 100%. Totally worth it. Like, it's fantastic. These games of services have been executed well, and that's really encouraging, because that's obviously where we're going. That's where we are with TV, and that's what the problem with TV now is, what the kind of already problem that exists with gaming. And so it'll be interesting to see if gaming consolidates. The problem with TV and movie services this way is that they're fragmenting now, right? Like, everybody, like NBC just announced Peacock, their streaming service. Disney has theirs, and Apple has theirs, and Hulu and Netflix and CBS All Access, and you know, on and on. And so, like, now The Office is going to Peacock. It's not going to be on Netflix anymore. I've watched The Office yearly forever.
When does that start? Because I got like 12 episodes left.
Yeah, well, you better get through it now. It's not, I think it's next year. But it's coming, you know, like, soon. The most streamed thing on Netflix, like, The Office is by far the most streamed thing on Netflix. Soon it's going to cost you, you know, $10 more a month to have access to that. Or are you going to pay to have access to The Office? I doubt it. I need to find a, like, download all The Office off of Netflix. Shh, don't tell anybody about
that.
Just think it out loud for a second. But that's the problem that's going to happen and is happening currently with television and movie streaming services, is that now everybody wants to do it. And so all of those different shows that you want to watch are going to be all on different platforms, as opposed to just being able to go to Netflix or to Hulu or whatever to get them all. With gaming, it feels like we're starting in the opposite place, that there's all this fracturing because we have these companies that are all separate. But it feels somewhat inevitable that at some point there's going to have to be a unifying service for at least a lot of it, you know, that's going to be cross-platform, that you can have a certain service on your Microsoft console and your Sony console, that's going to have all the, you know, UB and EA and whatever stuff available to you, even if it doesn't have first-party stuff available to you. I don't know. It's an interesting thought with the weird economics of the streaming world.
You know what I was paranoid about yesterday as I was getting my 2 free games off of PlayStation Plus?
Huh.
I was paranoid about, I looked through my list of the games that I now have available, which, by the way, you mentioned it earlier, one of them is MLB The Show, which I really want to play. And I realized that I bought NBA 2K19 when it was on sale months back, and it was like $3.
Yeah.
And so I went through my list of stuff that I have because of PlayStation Plus, and there are games on there like Heavy Rain. There are games on there like other NBA games. There are games on there like The Last of Us 2. I'm sure Spider-Man's going to be on PlayStation Plus at some point. What I got paranoid about is, okay, when are they going to decide PlayStation Plus goes away and you lose all of these games?
Sure.
That's what I'm paranoid about, because I have this whole list of games that I know it's going to take years to get around to, and I don't own these games.
Yeah.
And I'll pay for PlayStation Plus until the end of time because they've made it worth it for me to get these games every month. But when they decide, okay, yeah, that's over, and I lose all of these games, I'm going to be a little pissy. Like, yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be a little pissy, and I'm thinking other people will also.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Again, it's a question of do we actually ever get to them to play them or just the ability of having them accessible even if we don't get to them. Yeah.
There's a great segment in here, folks. Send us a segment because yes. We want to know what you think.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on games as services? And how would you react if your massive games library that you've collected for paying for these services went away?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Really quickly, I'll mention a few other things. I've been playing MLB The Show. I told you on our Patreon content, I started a second baseman that's currently playing for the AA affiliate of the Orioles, which just pains my soul, but obviously trying to get him to the Astros. Hopefully I'll get there someday. Knowing that I started a second baseman and knowing that the Astros have Jose Altuve seems like a long shot for a little bit at least, but whatever. But all that said, super enjoying the game. I'm going to stream some of it so you can see it. You requested that. And so with PlayStation, it's super easy. You just hit a button and it goes to YouTube. And so I'll make sure to put some of that up for you. But been enjoying that thoroughly. I'll also mention really quick, because we're not going to get to it in show notes, Mario Kart's out on iOS, and it's weird. It's like, at first I thought I hated it, and then I've played a ton of it, and it's still like something I kind of have this love-hate relationship with, because it's like microtransaction laden and all of those like free-to-play terrible things that I just hate, yet the gameplay is kind of fun. So I keep going back to it. So yeah, for what it's worth, there's that.
So
go ahead. So
I'm sorry, I keep stopping you.
You're
trying to wrap and I keep stopping you. I think I mentioned it 2 weeks ago on the last show, but I gave Path of Exile people money for the first time. I gave them like $35.
Nice.
And now this week they have stuff on sale, and I'm thinking, do I want to pay? And I'm not talking about weapons or any of that stuff. I'm talking about stuff like inventory space and that type of stuff that really comes in handy. And I don't really consider it a cheat. Yeah. And so I'm actually considering giving them more money, considering the fact that I looked yesterday and I have 164 hours in Path of Exile. I kid you not. Nice. I haven't put 164 hours in anything in 20 years. And I have 164 hours in Path of Exile. So I started trying to do the math in my head. Like, how much money do I actually owe these people? Like, is it acceptable for me to spend $60 or $70 for 164 hours and counting of playtime? Probably so. And I've spent a grand total of 35. So, I think when you're talking about Mario Kart, that's the key, is are they going to make it stuff that you're like, yeah, this is fun, and I really don't mind throwing in some money, or is it a pain in the butt? Because I think that's the key with microtransactions.
I agree. I'm not giving Mario Kart any money. I'm definitely not there. But it's fun. It's a good, like, you can do a race. Like, all the races are only 2 laps, so they go really quick. And so, right. Yeah, it's just when I have, like, 2 minutes available, like, I'm like, hey, I'll just run a quick race here. And there is a progression to it, and you, like, unlock stuff and whatever. I'll talk about it some other time. But it is is fascinating. So go by the show notes. I'm going to hit releases really quick because there are a couple of things to mention, but we're not going to get through all the show notes. A couple more things about Sony, a few things from Nintendo, nothing massive from Nintendo, but a few things to go by there and see. Releases I'll mention really quick. The new Tom Clancy Ghost Recon is out and has a 56 on Metacritic, which is pretty brutal. When they got what's his face, the guy that plays the Punisher, which didn't even dawn on me, was the same guy that played Shane. Is that his name in The Walking Dead?
Yes,
yeah, same dude. And I never picked it up until like season 9 of The Walking Dead. There's a flashback. I'm like, hey, it's the Punisher. Yep, same dude. just didn't put that together. I don't know why. Ghost Recon, apparently not very good. Code Vein, also a game that a lot of people were really hyped about, this RPG with, like, looks like very anime-styled. Has a 71, which isn't terrible, a lot better than Ghost Recon soon, but still a little bit rough there. But we are getting into the point of big-name titles coming out. FIFA 20 is out, has an 80, which is a little bit better. Neo Cab, a game we saw at E3 a couple years ago, this kind of weird cyberpunk cab driver simulation, whatever, like last human cab driver in the world thing, when everything's automated, has like a 78 or something like that on Metacritic. I'm trying to think of anything else here. Destiny 2 is free to play on Steam, so you can go pick that up. The DLCs, whatever, expansions, whatever we call those things now, are not free, but Destiny 2 is free to play on Steam, and so. Yeah, some good games and about to be a lot more good games coming. We are getting into the kind of heart of the game release cycle of the year.
And you knew it was going to happen. I'm glad that we got through the game releases because that tells me that now we're at the end of the show and we can talk about random things. You knew we were going to get there. I got to tell you, I'm frustrated.
Uh-huh.
Because we did Patreon content yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I said, dude, you want to do a show tonight? And you're like, nope, baseball. So I'm like, cool, baseball. So I turn on my TV, and the game's on Fox Sports 1. And guess what? Dish is having a dispute.
That's right, isn't Fox, it?
And I can't see the game.
Well, that sucks.
So, like, I'm thinking that if something major is happening, you're going to text me or call me or something. Because I can't see the game, so I don't know. And I understand why they're doing it, because Fox is being a pain in the butt. But the Astros are playing. There's other great baseball games going on right now because it's the postseason. And I can't watch them.
Yeah.
And that's awful.
Yeah, that is brutal. That's a sad day. And you missed it too, because Garrett Cole's a beast. The second inning, I think, he struck out the side in 10 pitches. Just brutal. Yeah. The Astros so far, they're pretty good.
They're pretty good. And I think that they've got a real shot at winning another World Series.
Yeah.
They have some other pretty good teams standing in front of them.
They do.
But
not gonna be easy. But they have the two best pitchers in baseball. That gets you a long ways.
Yeah, and I have to admit, they are, out of everybody that's still in it, they're the most likable.
I think so. Like, I'm a little biased on that, but I'll go with it.
Like, yeah, okay. I know the Nats will implode because
yes,
the Nats implode every year. We watch PTI, and they're all excited about the Nats like they are every year. And I'm going, guys, they're going to blow up. And the thing is, they know they're going to blow up. They know. They say it on the show. But they're just hoping.
Yeah.
So I have no faith in the Nats at all. The Dodgers, who knows?
Dodgers are awfully good. I can see an Astros-Dodgers rematch pretty easily.
That,
the Yankees are really good, too. That's going to be the series to me, is Yankees-Astros.
Yeah, and I really feel like if that happens, it's going to be who can hit the most home runs.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you might as well just throw a home run derby out there and just start jacking them out, because that'll be the way it is.
Yeah, there's not going to be any small ball in that series.
Not at all. Which, by the way, since we're talking about small ball, I'm trying really hard to feel bad for Billy Bean right now. Because I really want them to do well every year, because they have the lowest payroll in Major League Baseball, and they're in Oakland, who just lost their basketball team. Yeah. So I want the A's to do well, and they just die in the postseason every year, and it's awful.
Yeah.
I just hate it.
Yeah. God bless you, Billy Bean, for coming up with some good ideas that other teams took and executed better and got us to a really stellar Astros team after being miserable for a decade. So that's in part due to Billy Bean, but the Astros took that idea, as have many other teams, and said, well, we're going to do this only so far, and then we're going to also spend a good chunk of money.
Well, the only good thing about the fact that the A's are what they are and do what they do is that it brings MC Hammer out every year. And if you see the guy on anything, it makes me happy, because even after like 30 years, he's still MC Hammer.
Yes.
Like, he's still got that swagger. And I don't know if you find it as engaging as I do, but I love that dude.
Yeah, he is entertaining.
I do. And like, he is like Oakland for life.
Yeah.
Like, he's that guy. I wish I could be a bat boy for a major league team. For crying out loud, man. So I'm glad to see him every year. That's cool. And I will say this before we wrap up on the sports talk. So I watched some NBA preseason last night because I couldn't watch the baseball game. I went looking for TBS because I'm like, they got baseball, right? Nope. But on TNT, they had NBA preseason, which I hate the preseason, but they had the Lakers and the Warriors on in preseason. First game of the year. The Lakers look really good. The Warriors will be the Warriors. They will be fine. I got them in 6 or 7 in the West. I think it's going to be okay. They're going to make the playoffs, and we'll see what happens. But I want to mention something. Everybody's talking about the Chase Center, this big new arena, and all the stuff they got going on. When you watch it, you have to tell me. But I watched it last night, and it felt like they were still in Oracle, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be curious when you watch it what you think of that.
Yeah.
Because it's like an 18,000 seat arena, which is insane, but that's all they put in it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be curious when you see that, what you think.
Fair enough.
And that's it for the sports talk. And before we wrap up, I have to mention that we do have a voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. I'll mention there's one sitting there for us. Somebody called. Thank you. You'll be hearing that soon.
The only reason you got beat out this week is because Cabbage did what he did.
Yeah, we've got a few other things, too. We've still got Brigham on a Motorcycle, which we haven't got to yet. We've had that one said for a while. We really did play that one. And we've got another one from our boy Josh, too. And so we've got a few segments in the queue, but we, of course, always need more.
Yes, absolutely. Send us those. Send us an email, because we love the email. I was depressed about the fact that I looked in the email today, and all I found was the show notes. That's depressing. So Send us email, gamingunscensored@gmail.com.
Yeah, we're old school. We still like email. I know people don't use it anymore, but we like it.
We like it a lot because, you know, you can see what's going on. Yeah. It's an amazing thing, and it's like writing a text. You just have to do it differently, so you should give it a try. Or you could go by the Facebook page and just yell at us like other people do.
Yeah.
That's fun. Lots of discussion going on over there. Tommy is still on the Twitter. He has not given up the Twitter, which is kind of amazing.
I'm actually scrolling through it right now.
Yeah. I never thought you would like the Twitter, but you do. Great. So I'm happy about that. So definitely go by and check that out. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, for right now, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.